I'm going to take 5 minutes and read through the chapter, and then we'll look into it a little closer. So let me get set up here. This is my first time with this huge screen up here, so this is going to be interesting. Okay, so as I said, we're going to be looking at Psalms 119. And the reason I'm up here tonight is Pastor Sean asked me to preach as they're in Milwaukee tonight. My assumption is I understand they'll be traveling back tomorrow, so they're still in the Milwaukee area tonight. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Ross Johnson. I went through the GIBS program almost 9 years ago, I believe. And Pastor keeps us busy and in practice by letting us preach usually devotionals for Family Fellowship Night. And every once in a while we get the full-blown message, full-blown study. Tonight's message is going to talk about Psalms 119 in general, but specifically Psalms 119:11, because I was scheduled to do the devotional for the month of March, and that was our memory verse for the month of March, Psalms 119:11. Events happened, and obviously that didn't happen. But better late than never. So, if you're not already there, please turn your Bibles to Psalms 119, which I'm trying to do here and I'm having trouble. As I studied out specifically the memory verse Psalms 119:11, I found some fascinating facts about Psalms 119 itself, and I'd like to share those with you. And it was very impressed. I was very impressed at the artistry and the talent it takes to communicate the Word of God, and the poetry that this person, whoever the author is, it took to do what they're doing here and how they're communicating in the format they're doing it. And I just wanted to highlight some of that for you. So some interesting facts about Psalms 119. First, at 176 verses, it is the longest chapter in the book of Psalms and in the Bible. It doesn't have the most words, it just happens to be the longest chapter. Psalms 119 is one of 9 acrostic psalms that are found in the book of Psalms. An acrostic psalm is a poem in which the first letter of each line spells out a word, message, or the alphabet. This is an example of an acrostic, which spells out the word Monday with the first letter of each word. Maybe this day is not one of your favorites, but never forget that every day you wake up is an amazing gift, and it's up to you to make it count. So that's an acrostic. Psalms 119 is an alphabetic acrostic. So each letter of the Hebrew alphabet is represented in Psalms 119 And each letter has 8 verses behind it that start with that letter. So if you see on the Bible I have, it starts with Alpha, or the Hebrew version of A, the Hebrew version of B, etc., all the way through. They have 22 letters in that alphabet. The best way that we can see how this would look in the original is if you look at Psalms 119, verses 65 through 72, which lines up with our letter T and the Hebrew letter Teth. Now, if you have a New King James Version, it's not as noticeable, but in the King James Version, which I have up here, sorry about that. I got to remember which screen is showing up there. Okay, there I am. So in verses 65 through 72, you can see in the King James Version how each sentence starts with the letter T. So thou hast dwelt with my servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good commandment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Thou art good, and thou doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep my precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than a thousands of gold or silver. So each letter has, in the Hebrew, the next 8 sentences start with that letter. One of the reasons for this, an alphabetic acrostic, is to help young children memorizing their alphabet. And in this case, not only are they memorizing the alphabet, they're also memorizing truths about the Lord. I saw this with my daughter, Macy. She had a book, and it was Miss Bindergarten Gets Ready for Kindergarten, and there was animals. And each animal, the letter A was Al the alligator, Bob the bear, Charlie the cat. And this has helped her with her alphabet. And I would try to trick her up and say, Bob the monkey, and even at a very young age, my daughter knew that that wasn't right. Bob goes with bear, does not go with monkey. Mike goes with monkey, not the bear. So it was just a way of, again, teaching her the alphabet. Even though she couldn't read it, she understood B and bear were together. So here we have in Psalms 119 a phenomenal example of alphabet being taught along with the repetition of truth from God's word. And I was thinking about that is how, you know, my daughter at the time would see the letter B and she would say, Bob the bear, you know. And I was thinking about this as I was driving here. How many signs did you see? You see your alphabet. And every time you saw a letter in your alphabet, all of a sudden 8 truths of both the Word of God would pop in your brain because of the repetition and the memory that this would have. Would be, as you'd be like, every time you see a capital A, then there's 8 truths that you would remember associated with that. It would be kind of amazing. The author of Psalms 119 is anonymous. As a kid, I always thought it was King David that wrote the psalm, but further research, some people think that David might have wrote it. Some people even suppose that David wrote it for his son Solomon to teach Solomon truths as a youngster learning the alphabet. Some people think it's Nehemiah, but we do know that the author, we don't know for sure who the author is, so it's anonymous, though the author talks about himself quite a bit in Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is a wisdom psalm. So it exhorts and instructs in the way of righteousness. And because it's such a long verse, or a long chapter, we have some very familiar verses in Psalms 119. Can anybody off the top of their head give me Psalms 119 and verse 105? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Very familiar verse. If you've been at Itasca Bible Church any amount of time, one of pastor's favorite verses. Is verse 71. It is good that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. How many times have we seen this verse quoted by Pastor Sean? And then, of course, there's the verse that was our memory verse for March. Verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is a verse that I've known for a long time. I'm having memorized it as a very young kid in Sunday school. And it's probably or possibly one of the first verses I memorized after John 3:16. I remember being some vague memory of young man. I'm a young man, so how do you as a young man not sin against the Lord? This was written to me. I remember a teacher saying, this is, you're a young man, this is written to you, so this verse is for you. Okay, so let's take a close look at verse 11. Psalms 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. First word I want to focus on is the word word. This is Psalms 119:11 is found under the Hebrew letter B. And in the Hebrew, there's our first, the blue is our first, the Hebrew letter B. So that's and as all the other verses in 9 through 16, they all start with the same letter. So what are we to do? Psalms 119 says, your word I have hidden in my heart. So we are to hide something. We are to hide your word, God's word. And the word means an utterance, speech, saying, or words of. It's sayings that are communicated. It's sayings, instructions, prayer, and a promise, and commands. So it covers a lot of stuff. It's all those things. Your word I have hidden in my heart. The Net Bible says, translates Psalms 119:11 this way. In my heart, I store up your words. Another version says, I have taken your words to heart. So there's very same way of saying, your word I have hidden in my heart. So now that we know what we're talking about, what we're supposed to do with words, now let's see what we're supposed to do with them. We are supposed to hide. Your word I have hidden in my heart. And this is the Hebrew word sapan, and it means to hide, treasure, store up. It also means to conceal something with a definite purpose. So it's hide, treasure, store up, and to conceal with a definite purpose. Its implication is you are storing up the words of God and or treasuring them on the account of their value. You consider them very valuable, so therefore you are storing them up. They're extremely valuable, so you store them up or you hide them. I have hidden is translated in other translations as I have stored up your word in my heart and I treasure your word in my heart. So now we know what we're dealing with and what we're supposed to do with it. We're to hide your words. And now where are we supposed to hide them? We're supposed to hide the word of God in our heart. This is the Greek word labab, and it means mind or the inner person. This word can refer to the internal organ. Literally can refer to the heart, but it also has abstract meanings. And it became the richest biblical term for the totality of man's inner or immaterial nature. It's where you are you, in your heart. Who you are is in your heart. Psalms 119 also tells us, gives us a reason why we are to hide God's word in our heart. Man, this is very confusing. Okay, what? Sorry, I'm having trouble with this. I'm seeing the main slide that's up there, and then the next one, and I'm not used to this, so you'll have to excuse me here. So the reason that we're to hide God's word in our minds or our inner selves is that I might not sin against you. As we look at the word that, it means for the sake of or on account of in order that, which pretty much makes sense. It gives us the purpose. The reason we are to hide God's word in our heart is the purpose for this is so that we might not sin against God. Now this is where it gets pretty interesting. The next phrase I want to look at is, I might not sin against you. Now this is one word in the Greek. I might not sin against you is all one word. And that's this word, ehe-ta. Now, ehe-ta, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, means to miss or miss the goal or path of right and duty. And this is in the qual mode and in the imperfect aspect, which means it refers to what is being done over when it is being done, if that makes any sense. But that's what it says. The imperfect aspect refers to what is being done over when it is being done. So we throw in the word. So what this means is missing the goal of the standard that God has for us, or falling short of spiritual wholeness. Now the word not is indicated by the negative in front of it. So you put the little L-O in there, and it means I might not sin against you. So it actually means to not miss, or not miss the goal or the path of right and duty. We are to hide God's word in our heart, so we do not miss the goal or path of right and duty, or we do not miss the goal, the standard that God has for us. The big idea here is I store up and treasure. This is new to me as we're studying this out, is storing up and treasuring God's word, because you find it valuable, in my mind, so that I might not miss or fall short of God's spiritual standards. Storing up and treasuring God's words in our minds, so we will not miss or fall short of God's spiritual standards. This is the big idea of Psalms 119:11. Seeing, and what I learned through this study, is it's not just knowing the words, but you actually see the value of the Word of God. And therefore, that's why you store it up and you treasure it, because you're seeing the value of it. And that's what kind of jumped out at me in this study is, and let me challenge you this, is do you see value in God's Word? Do you see the Word of God as valuable? So therefore, it's worth your time to memorize and store up in your mind. I know it was a conviction for me to actually see. You know, we have so much information nowadays, including Bibles. I myself have at least 4 different Bibles on my desk. And all I got to do is grab one and look something up. But what would happen if I had no access to that anymore? You know, did you see the value of God's words enough that you stored it up in your mind, not just on your desk? But if you didn't have access to one of X number of Bibles that we have access to here in America. So there's value in God's Word. And because of that, we should treasure God's Word in our mind so that we do not miss or fall short of God's spiritual standards. Now, I wanted to continue and say what this verse does not say. This verse does not say, if your words are hidden in my heart, I won't sin against you. We are all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of the sins of our lives, we are separated. Sin separates us from an absolutely righteous and holy God. And according to Romans 6:23, the penalty for our sins is death. And we have a problem as a sinner. We have a penalty to pay, that is death. We cannot pay it ourselves. In order to pay our penalty, we are to be separated from God. Eventually, this finds its way in an eternal separation from God in a place called the Lake of Fire. The rest of Romans 6:23 goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gift of eternal life costs you and me nothing, but it costs Jesus Christ everything. He came to this earth with the purpose of paying the penalty of sin. He did not pay for his sins because he was sinless. He paid for sins for you and me and every sinner that was born and will be born. We know the penalty for sin is death, so that's what happened. Jesus Christ suffered a horrible death and in the process paid our penalty. God's justice was appeased, and because the penalty is paid, he can offer to sinners eternal life in heaven. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can have eternal life with God as a gift. This is a very gracious gift, motivated by the love of God for each and every one of us. This gracious gift of eternal life becomes ours by faith or trusting in the fact that Jesus Christ got the job done and there was nothing more to be done. We cannot help him out. We receive eternal life as a gift at the moment of salvation, and at the same time, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals the believers until the moment of death or until the rapture. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom we are sealed until the day of redemption." So now that as a believer we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we know that the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict, encourage, and help. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit's job is to bring to remembrance the things Jesus was telling his disciples. He had to go away so the Holy Spirit would come as a helper and bring to remembrance the things that Jesus had taught them. I know from experience that the Holy Spirit that dwells in me uses the Word of God to challenge, show, and give us an option to see what God thinks about any given situation we are in every day. The question becomes is, who am I going to yield to? Divine viewpoint presented by the Holy Spirit, or human viewpoint presented by the sin nature or the old sin nature? Believers can and do sin, sometimes with the full knowledge that they're doing this in direct violation of the Word of God. Sometimes they sin and they simply do not know that it is sin. The Bible is used by the Holy Spirit to make us more and more Christ-like over time. Now, before we all start getting guilty and start the guilt trip down the road and stressing, none of us here, unless you want to raise your hand and I'll call you a liar, have memorized the entire Bible. Therefore, the Holy Spirit can't use every single verse in the Bible, right? But, so instead of... this is part of a mature growth process. The more mature, or the longer you've been saved, the more mature you're supposed to be getting, the more Bible you should know. That's kind of the idea there. But we have some help. First of all, I just mentioned we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict us, to show us divine viewpoint in any given situation. I personally have experienced this. I'll be meditating on something or thinking about something, and all of a sudden a verse pops into my head. I haven't thought about or read that verse sometimes in years, but all of a sudden it pops into my head. And that is the Holy Spirit using, hey, this verse applies here. This is what the Word of God says here. Who are you going to yield to in this situation? So first of all, we have the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we have spiritually gifted local pastor teachers that take the time to study the Word of God and teach us and show us how it applies today. So if we didn't have pastor teachers showing us what the Word of God and how that applies in our life today in light of the circumstances we're living in now, all we'd have to do is just read what Paul wrote. And then you'd be done. You ever thought about that? What would the Apostle Paul say about my life or what's going on in my life today? That's why we have pastor teachers. They take the precepts, the principles found in the Word of God, and then they apply it or they make it applicable to us in our situation today. Thirdly, we have the promise from God that when we confess our known sins, He forgives us all of our sins. Am I going the wrong way? Sorry. Yeah. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This includes a sin that we may not even think or know is sin. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, and will help us become more and more spiritually mature and aware until we go home to be with the Lord, either by rapture or physical death. Also, the concept of hiding God's word in our hearts is not only found in Psalms. It is found throughout the Bible. Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Job 22:22. Receive, please, the instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Also, Psalms, there's more verses in Psalms that talk about this. Psalms 37:31. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Psalms 40:8. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. All these verses are Old Testament verses, but this is also true for the New Testament and us today. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So this hiding God's word in your heart is found throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And it's nothing new. It's been that way since the word of God's been around. Let me challenge you with this. If you've been saved for a while, or you've been saved for a while, or matured as a believer, has the list of Bible verses that are hidden in your heart continued to grow? Has the list of Bible verses that you know from memory grown in the last year or two? Or are they just the same list? This verse also reads, this jumped off the page for me, and this is something that I struggle with. As this verse reads, your word that I've hidden in my heart, not on the refrigerator, not on my phone, not in the Bible, in the car, in my heart. I personally have experienced having both positive and negatively. One, the negative was a lack of memorization, and the other was somebody had memorized. I'll just tell the story. I was at a fair, and there was one of the customers that would not come into the tent at the time. And he would stand outside the tent, and he was arguing with one of the survey takers. And I was sitting there listening to my fellow believer and this gentleman argue. And the guy was looking to pick a fight, and it was kind of slow. So they were discussing stuff back and forth. And I was interested in the conversation until this gentleman goes, you know, somewhere in 2 Peter, it says, and he paraphrased a verse. And at that point, I totally lost interest in the conversation. So this guy was just arguing for argument's sake. But to me, he lost this, not that you argue it to survey taking, but he lost because he just paraphrased a verse and he said, somewhere in the Bible, there's a verse that says this. On the other side of that, I've had a conversation with the Lord's help and the Holy Spirit doing the job, where I was able to have a spiritual discussion with a coworker, and actual verses with references came popping into my head, and they were used to answer my coworkers' questions. And I didn't have to say somewhere in the Word of God it says this. I was able to, in Romans 1, verse 19, this is what it says. And I was just as shocked as everybody else in that room that I remembered all that stuff. And so let me challenge you with this. It used to be that, well, somewhere in Galatians it says this. And I've been convicted, and it's my belief that the reference is just as important as what the verse says. Knowing where it is and where to find it, and able to show somebody exactly what the Bible says versus, well, somewhere in Hebrews it says something about this. If you can, so I learned it right away in our first Gibbs. All of us Gibbs students at the class I went into, pastor would give us a reference and we're all looking at him like, and then he'd start the first two words and then we all knew the verse. The verse just rolled off her tongue once he started the words, but we didn't know the reference. And I've been trying to work on that. So just let me encourage you that when you, like Psalms 119:11 said, let's hide the word. I'll read it directly instead of paraphrasing it here. I got to find Psalms 119 first. Okay. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So my encouragement to you would be is, let's see that the God's words is precious. It is a treasure. It is something worth hiding in our hearts so it can be used by the Holy Spirit in any given time and any given day. And my encouragement to you would be is, not only know the scripture itself or the verse itself, but where it is in the Bible. It's so helpful to show, well, my opinion or what I think the Bible says in some book versus here it is in black and white on the Bible, in the Bible, this is what the Bible says. So as we looked at Psalms 119 as an overview and Psalms 119:11 specifically, we saw that it is the longest chapter in the Bible with truths about God and life communicated within a alphabetic acrostic to help in remembering those truths as they are tied to the letters of the alphabet. We saw the importance of taking the words written down in the Bible and making them our own by hiding them in our minds. And we saw the reason why, that I might not sin against you. Again, let me encourage you to hide, store up, memorize the Word of God and the references in your mind, because you see that it is valuable. You see it's worth it. It is our love for God that should motivate us to memorize His words, because He first loved us, thus allowing the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God to communicate His will to us and living by faith a life that is well-pleasing to Him. Sorry, I lost my spot. Okay, that just fell off a cliff. Okay. Let me see. Communicate as well, live my faith. It is well pleasing to the one that is hidden, well pleasing to the one that died for us. As we become more and more Christ-like over time, we can be soft to the divine viewpoint that is shown to us through the Holy Spirit via the Word of God. And so that we may not miss the mark or fall short of God's righteousness, righteous standard, because of who He is and what He did for us. Okay, that was bad. Okay. Let's have a quick word of prayer, then I'll answer so many questions. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this amazing chapter and the talent and the fact that it is a poem and that it could be used the way just the talent that and whoever the author is, I'm just amazed that they communicated the Word of God in the way they did. Just thank you that the Word of God can be communicated to us in many different ways, and pray that we would hide your Word in our hearts. Again, so the Holy Spirit that's within us can use it to show us divine viewpoint on any given situation on any given day. Thank you for the pastor teachers that we have to show us the biblical precepts and what the Lord's will is for us, and show us how it's applicable today. And just thank you for other believers, and then that encourage us. And just again, thank you for the many, many copies of the Word of God that we do have available to us, and just pray that we would take advantage of that and hide the Word of God in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, any questions? We're good to go. Tim? So, all right. Well,